Today's shiur is dedicated by Yael and Yosef Gurevich for Schus for Fu Shleima for Mr. and Mrs. Moshe and Elaine Rubin. Today's shiur is Mesechta Nazir Daf Lamed Vav. We will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Hey Amid Beis, four lines from the bottom. We learned in our Mishnah, today's shiur is about the subject of Hetem Mitzdar Filiser. We learned in our Mishnah the halacha, if someone, a nazir, is not allowed to have wine or grape products, and the shear and the measure is a kazayas. And we learned in the Mishnah, if somebody doesn't have a kazayas of wine, but he soaks his bread in the wine, do we say hetem etzdar filiser, and it's considered as if he now has a kazayas? The Mishnah said that we say hetem etzdar filiser. Very big machlokes rishonim when we apply the concept of hetem etzdar filiser. When do we do so? Do the heter and the iser have to actually combine, as the case of our Mishnah was, where the bread was soaked in the wine, so now we have bread soaked wine, or if they're not actually combined into one food, as long as I eat both of them together, I will still say hetem etzdar filiser. The stipler in his Sefer Kilos Yaakov wants to connect this question to the machlokes of what achronim, what is the logic, what are the mechanics of hetem etzdar filiser. There are those that say the hetem etzdar filiser means that the heter becomes osur. And there are those that suggest that what heter mitar lesser is, it's not that the heter becomes osur, the heter combines with the isur. And Stipler says that will be the nafkamina here. If we say that the heter becomes osur, we only could say that when the heter and the isur are actually combined. But if we say that heter mitar lesser only means that they are able to combine into one food, that we don't have to have that they're actually mixed together. As long as we have heter and iser eaten at the same time, it will be enough to say heter mitzdar filiser. There's also a question, when we say heter mitzdar filiser, most Rishonim are of the opinion that we only could say it if the roiv is iser, or it's at least 50-50% iser. But if the heter is more than the iser, then we wouldn't say heter mitzdar filiser, because at that point, the heter is mevatel the iser. However, if the iser is something that doesn't become bottle, let's say the iser is something which is nice and tam, it gives taste. So the halacha is that something which it gives tam doesn't become bottle, and therefore we could say hetem etzdar filiser even when the iser is not derived, not even 50%. Similarly, there would be a distinction if the combination is min b'minoi or min b'she'enoi minoi. Min b'she'enoi minoi is much harder to become bottled than min b'minoi. And therefore, there would be an afkamina whether the mixture was a min b'minoi or if the mixture was a min, or the mixture was a min b'she'enoi minoi. So says the Gemara, Amar Vua, Amar B'yachan, Kol Yisroel Shvetayim, when we speak about all other situations, the halacha is ein hetem etzdar filiser. We don't say hetem etzdar filiser. We have a chatzi kazayis of something that's osur and a chatzi kazayis of something that's mutter. They cannot combine. We cannot combine by saying hetem etzdar filiser. Of course, the Rishonim point out that even though they can't combine by saying, even though we don't say hetem etzdar filiser as the Gemara is suggesting in such circumstances, but say the Rishonim, it would still be osur to eat it. Because the halacha is that chotzi shir osur min haTorah. Even if I don't have a full shir, the halacha is I'm not allowed to eat something which is osur. The concept that we discuss of hetem etzdar filiser is relevant regarding hilchas malchus. Will it be considered that you ate a kazayis? That we know the halacha is if you ate a kazayis, that's something that's osur yichayv malchus. So we say, and we could achieve having a kazayis through hetem etzdar filiser. But now the discussion is, do we say, when we say that, When we say hetem mitzdarf lisser, do we say it only by nozer? Do we say it everywhere else? So Rav Avuha says that it's only said by isurei nozer. Why nozer is different? Because the halacha, the Shreya Metarah, the Torah says a pasuk by the isurim of a nozer. The pasuk says the chol mishus anovim laizishta. The Torah is teaching us that by nozer, the case that we've been discussing, the case where the bread was soaked in the wine, we say hetem tzarf lisser, but we don't say it in other areas. We don't say it in other areas of halacha. But now says the Gemara that Ziri disagrees, and Ziri says that we say hetem tzarf lisser in other areas as well. The Torah Kedoshah says that one may not put on the mizbeach sa'or, as the pasuk says, "Kichol sa'or v'chol dvash lo yisatiru b'meni ish l'Hashem," and the amount of sa'or that may not be put on a mizbeach is a kezayis. So now says Ziri, "Af sa'or b'bal tektiru." This that we just discussed of not putting sa'or on the mizbeach. There too, the halacha is that there's a halacha of hetem tzarf l'iser. And therefore, if somebody's going to combine a chatzi kezayis of sa'or with a chatzi kezayis of something that is not also to be put on the mizbeach, the halacha is that they may not be put, that one would be over the lav, a kol sa'or l'sektir meni ish l'Hashem. Here too, as we mentioned at the beginning of our shir, we have the machloikus rishonim. Do we say that these two items that we're putting on the mizbeach have to be combined to be over the iser? That's the opinion of Tosfos. Rashi's opinion is that they don't have to be combined. So the Karen Ira asks, according to Tosfos, it's understood that since they were mixed together, that's why we have a situation of hetem tzarf lisser. But ask the Karen Ira, according to Rashi, if they're being burnt at the same time, what combines them? And the Karen Ira explains deeper. He says, when two different foods are eaten at the same time, even though they were kept separate, the fact that they were eaten at the same time is enough to combine them. But when we're speaking not about food that is being eaten, but about these different foods that are being put on the mizbeach, what is combining them? So the Karen Ira says, the fact that they're being burnt on the mizbeach at the same time is enough to serve as a combination. Says the Gemara, Kaman, whose opinion is the Iri following, that he applies ketem etzdarf lisser to all areas of halacha? Says the Gemara, Kerbeleza, he's following the opinion of Elazar the Darash Kol. He says, whatever the Torah uses the word kol, it comes to teach us that to learn ketem etzdarf lisser. And that's why, since the Torah Kedoshah says, ki kol sa'or, but we call the vash le'sektir meni ish l'Hashem, he learns that ki kol comes to teach us that heter mitzdarf l'iser. Ask the Gemara if that's what you're saying, that the word kol always comes to teach us. Ask the Gemara yachi linya chametz nami, why don't we say that that will be the halacha by chametz on Pesach? The Torah Kedoshah regarding the Isser of Chametz and Pesach says, Kol Machmetzes Lo Sechelu. So we should learn from the words of Kol Machmetzes. And the Rishonim point out, even though the Gemara is asking a question from Kol, from the word Kol that it says by Chametz, the Gemara doesn't only mean to ask the Maram Chal that says from Chametz and Pesach. It refers to many situations. Every time when the Torah uses the word kol, it comes to teach us that halacha. The Pnei Shleima says, why did the Gemara focus on chametz? Because in other places, normally the word kol is here to teach us the halacha that we just mentioned of chatzi shir osam in haTorah. But says the Pnei Shleima, by Pesach, by chametz, there's another place that we learn the halacha of chatzi shir. We learned that from the pasuk of Lo Yachal Chametz. So the kol that's stated by Pesach is not needed for that purpose. If the kol that's said by Pesach is not needed for that purpose, so says the Gemara, it should teach us that hetem mitzdarf lisser, says the Gemara, enochinami. Indeed, the halacha is that lafukimi andama yesh haktar b'pachs mekazayis. The reason that Ziri focused on the isra of putting sorrow on the mizbeach, because Abai's opinion is that Haktorah doesn't need a kazayis, and if Haktorah doesn't need a kazayis, there's no need to come onto the concept of hetem mitzdarf leser, and that's why Kamash Malon, that's what Ziri is coming to teach us, that en Haktorah pachs mekazayis, that Haktorah needs a kazayis, but even though Haktorah needs a kazayis, still you could achieve that kazayis by hetem mitzdarf l'isser. According to Abaya, there is no need for hetem mitzdarf l'isser because you don't need a kazayis to be over the lav of Baal Taktiru of not putting sor on the mizbeach. Here we're learning how strict the Torah was regarding chametz for Pesach. Chametz for Pesach, we're certainly learning now, we say hetem mitzdarf l'isser. And the question that comes up is that the way we sell chametz is that we have chametz in our home, and the nochri is buying the chametz from us, and he's rent, but the chametz remains in our home, and the nochri is renting the place in our home, the pantry or wherever in our home, to keep his chametz. But if that's the case, why would that be mutter? The halacha is that on Pesach, one may not have any hanah, one may not have any benefit from chametz. And by renting out to the nochri the place where the chametz is going to be, why is that not considered that I'm having hanah from chametz? So the Sefer Chashukei Chemed answers that although at the beginning of Pesach, when somebody rents out the place for the chametz, to the nochri is actually supposed to pay me rent for that place that he's using. At the end of Pesach, what will happen is, not only will the deal be reversed, but the nochri is not going to pay me, I'm going to give the nochri a tip. And since that's the case, so it's not considered that I'm benefiting from the nochri. Says the Gemara, a discussion that the Amoraim had regarding the subject of hetem mitzdarf l'isser. Yosef Rav Dimi was sitting for Kamal Hashmatz, and he was learning this halacha that Rabbi Yochanan said that by other Yisurim, other than Nazar, we don't say hetem mitzdarf l'isser. Eisvei Abaya. So Abaya asked, the Mishnah in Masechta Tefil Yoyim speaks about a mikveh. It's like a cereal, like a hot cereal, shel truma, that was made out of truma produce. Vashum, vashemen, the garlic and the oil that were put into this cereal for spices, for taste, are chulin. So they're mixed together. The truma and the chulin are mixed together. V'nagat tefil yoyim b'miktsasan. The tefil yoyim, a tefil yoyim is a person who was tamei, and he went to the mikveh, but he has not yet had herev shemesh. The halacha is that a person who's a tefil yoyim is a very low-level tumah. But even though he's a low-level tumah, he is tumah enough that if he touches truma, it becomes posel. The truma becomes disqualified to be consumed by kohen. And the person who's a tefil yoyim touched part of this mixture. The halacha is posel as kulan. He makes the entire mixture disqualified to be eaten by a kohen. Because we look at the porridge, we look at the cereal, and since it's mainly truma, the cereal is made out of truma, the chulin is bottled in it, and therefore it's considered like he touched truma. But, says the Mishnah there, what would be vice versa? If the mikveh was chulin, if the cereal was a chulin cereal, vashum vashemin shel truma, and the spices were truma, v'nagot tefil yoyim b'miktsasan, and the tefil yoyim touched part of this, loy pasul amakamagoy. The only part that becomes pasul to a kohen, pasul atz truma, is the part that he actually touched.
Vavinabo, and in trying to understand the Mishnah, the question is, Makam Magay my Pasul. Why is the part that he touched Pasul? The Shum and Shemen, which are indeed Truma ingredients, are bottled in the Roiv of the Mikveh, which is Chulin. And therefore, even if he touched whatever part of this mixture he touched, should be considered like he's touching Chulin. If a Zohar would eat a Kazayis of this mixture, the halacha is the Truma is not bottled. And since a Truma is not bottled, so it's considered as if he ate, if a Zohar ate it, it's considered as if he ate Truma, which of course a Zohar, it's Chai Malkus for eating Truma. And therefore, the halacha is, it's considered Truma. And therefore, if the Tvil Yoyim touches it, it becomes Pasul. In other words, the way the Rosh explains this Gemara, that here we have a mixture, and since the halacha is that Truma never becomes Pasul in a mixture. But if that's the case, of course, ask the Rosh. So if it's all considered Truma, why is only the actual spat that the Tvil Yoyim touched become Pasul? Why doesn't the entire mixture become true Pasul? So the Rosh explains that the halacha differentiates how and why something is considered Truma. If it's considered Truma because it's mostly Truma, so then it's considered one piece of Truma, and whatever the Tvil Yoyim touches becomes Pasul. But if it's Pasul only because of the Mua, because we have a mixture here, but in reality it's not mostly Truma, if that is the situation, the halacha tells us that only the actual spat that the Tvil Yoyim touches becomes Pasul and nothing else. So now the question is, the Gemara just said that if a Zohar were to eat a Kazayis of this mixture, he'll be over a lav of a Zohar eating Truma. But the question is, why is he over a lav for eating the Kazayis of Truma? We just learned that the Truma is the Miyot. And even if we're going to say, as we just learned, that Truma doesn't become bottle, explained Rishonim, that's true. And therefore, since the Truma doesn't become bottle, it doesn't have a shame of Truma. But even though it doesn't have a shame of Truma, it doesn't lose the shame of Truma, what does it mean that it doesn't lose the shame of Truma? What that means is that if the Tvil Yoyim touches it, wherever he touched, it's considered like a Tvil Yoyim touched Truma. But it can't be considered that if a Zohar ate something which is actually not Truma, that the halacha should consider it like he ate Truma. How can we say that it's considered that he ate a Kazayis of Truma? The only legitimate explanation we can come up with is Heter Mitztaref L'Isser, because the Heter and the Isser are combined. And since the Heter and the Isser are combined, so we look at it as if it's one big piece of Truma. And since it looks like one big piece of Truma, that's why when the Zohar ate it, he's Chayiv for eating it, even though what he has eaten is not mostly Truma. Amaloi loy. So Rav Dimi says, no. My Kazayis, that indeed, as we're learning, we have a mixture of Truma and Chulin. And furthermore, the Chulin is the Roiv. But there is enough Truma here that you could eat a Kazayis in the amount of time of Kedei Achilas Pras. The Halacha B'chol HaTorah Kula is that when we speak about eating something, whether it's a mitzvah to eat matzah, maror on Pesach, for example, or it's something that may not be eaten, the example of Al Gemara or Truma to Azor, there's an amount that has to be eaten to be considered that you ate. The amount is always a Kazayis, and it has to be eaten in the sheer Kedei Achilas Pras. The amount of time to eat Achilas Pras and the amount of time of eating Achilas Pras, the Paiskim debate, is anywhere from 2 minutes to 9 minutes. What happened here is that in this mixture that we're speaking about, do you have that much truma that he ate a kazayis b'chtei achilas pras. And therefore, even though the truma itself is indeed bottle, it doesn't change that he ate a kazayis b'chtei achilas pras, and that's why he did an aveira, a Yisrael is not allowed to eat that. Ask the Gemara, b'chilas pras, the Raisa, says the Gemara, is this concept that we're speaking about now of kazayis b'chtei achilas pras considered a concept that you chayv for being over in Issa the Raisa? Says the Gemara, emelei in. Yes, that's the way the Torah established that's what, as we said, that's considered midaraisa, that you've eaten something. So, we just spoke about a tful yoim, touching a food that's a mixture. Is it considered as if the entire mixture was touched by the tful yoim, or is it considered only the part that he actually touched? We know that the halacha is very, very machmer about touching anything, particularly food, before somebody watched Negelwasser in the morning. And the question is, if somebody, for example, touched a fruit salad made up of various fruits in the morning, so we're not supposed to eat that food. The question is that what becomes usur? Does the entire salad become usur, or does only the actual fruit that he touched become usur? So the Shukei Chemed discusses this, and he says that there's a difference between what type of food you have. If you have a food like we're learning in our Gemara, where you have a cereal, we have a porridge made up of different ingredients that are all mixed together. So there the halacha is that each part of the food is considered one big piece of food. And therefore, if you touch one part, it makes the entire part. If a person who didn't wash Negelwasser touched one part, it's as if he touched the entire food. The same would be, for example, on a cake, on a dough. It's considered one big piece of food. But he says when you have a salad that's made up of different foods, then the halacha is that each food is considered separate, and therefore what you touch, you touched, and what you didn't touch, you didn't touch. And of course, this question is very relevant for Hilchos Brachos as well. The Mishnah Berurah, in Siman Reish Yud Beis Sif Katan Aleph, quotes the Prima Godim and Darkei Chayim, the halacha that say that when you have a fruit, a salad, that's made up of many different types of fruits or vegetables, we go basarov as far as Hilchos Brachos is concerned. The Chaya Adam disagrees. And the Chaya Adam says that if each type of food is distinct and can be seen distinctly, then the halacha is that you should make one bracha, a separate bracha for each type of food, if obviously the different foods have different brachas. The Bi'ar Halacha says, since we have here this Machloikas Achroinim, Prima Godim and Derechayim versus the Chaya Adam, and there's a rule that Safik Brachas Lahakol, the halacha is that we should make one bracha. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in Siman Nun Dalet Sef Hey says that even if you have two different types of food that were cooked together, but each type of food is noticeably separate, then the halacha is you make on each food separately. So for example, if somebody's cooking meat and potatoes together, so they're really mixed together, they're cooked together, they're giving taste to each other, but since you could see the meat separately and the potatoes separately, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, unless they don't become one mass, the halacha is you make separate brachas. The Paiskim say, the Chazon Yecheskel says that it depends when they give taste to each other or they don't give each taste to each other. Interestingly enough, even though the Bi'ur Halacha paskins like the Prima Godim, the Shevet Alevi and Chelek Zayin Siman Chav Zayin says that in a case where you have two different foods mixed together and each food is noticeably separate, then he says also you should make separate brachas on each one. Says the Gemara. So now the Gemara established that the rule of Kezayis Bechtei Achilas Pras is a din deraisa. So ask the Gemara, if that's indeed the halacha, that the halacha of Kezayis Bechtei Achilas Pras is a din deraisa, Amai Pelginin Rabbanan or Leid Rabbalaz Bekuta Abavli, ask the Gemara, why do we find that Rabbanan disagree regarding somebody eats Kutach Abavli on Pesach? Kutach Abavli is a dip that's made out of moldy bread and whey. And it was used as a dip. And the halach is that the question is, are you chay for eating chametz? Rabbi Elazar says that if you eat kutach habavli on Pesach, you're chay for teruvus chametz because of the pasuk of komach metzes. The Rabbanan disagree. And the Rabbanan hold that eating this teruvus chametz, it's not considered that you ate chametz. But why not? Why should I not be chayav for eating the kezayis of the chametz, of the bread, b'chtei achilas pras, if you're now saying, ask the Gemara, that that's a chayav d'oraisa? Answers Rav Dimi Tabaya, hanach kutach habavli, you can't bring a rhyme from kutach habavli, because the way you eat kutach habavli, the lack of kezayis b'chtei achilas pras. Because either kasorov, if you just drink or eat a large amount of kutach habavli, a kezayis b'chtei achilas pras, that's not the way it's eaten. It's eaten as a dip. But l'data, it's a kaladam. Vi mishta kashoter, and if you eat it slowly, then it's not considered, then you didn't eat it, mishkach slo, b'kezayis b'chtei achilas pras, you will have not have eaten it that quickly. This Gemara is used for a question that many people have. We know, we just said, that in order to be considered that you ate something, you have to eat it kezayis b'chtei achilas pras. So the question that comes off often enough is if somebody is drinking a hot coffee, a hot tea, and he takes a while to drink it, the sheer of drinking a coffee, a beverage, to make a bracha, is if you drank a revius in the amount of time that you normally drink a revius. But when you drink a coffee or a tea and you drink it slowly, so you're not drinking it in that amount of time. So do you make a bracha achrayna or don't you? So many want to suggest that since this is the way a coffee is consumed, this is the way a tea is consumed, the sheer kedei achilas pras is based on the food that you're eating. And therefore, a kedei achilas pras of a piece of bread is much shorter than the kedei achilas pras or kedei achilas revius of a hot coffee or a hot tea. Our Gemara seems to be not saying that way. Because our Gemara just said that the sheer of kedei achilas pras by kutach, if somebody eats kutach, b'shir kedei achilas pras, if he ate it that quickly, then it's not the way people eat. So shloi kedar achila, if it's shloi kedar achila, it's not considered you ate. And if you ate it at the rate, at the pace that you normally eat it, you didn't eat it kedei achilas pras. But why don't we say that this kutach, that's the way you eat it? And since that's the way you eat kutach, the shear of kedei achilas pras is a much longer shear. So isn't this a raya that the shear kedei achilas pras is the same by all foods, no matter how fast or how slow you actually eat that particular food? However, the Paiskim say we can't bring a raya from kutach, because by kutach, when we speak about the kutach, what are we chayav for? We're not chayav for the actual kutach. We're chayav for the chametz, for the pieces of bread that are in the kutach. And the pieces of bread, the shear of kedei achilas pras, is the regular shear of kedei achilas pras. The fact that the bread is mixed with the other ingredients, and it's the other ingredients that make you eat it slower, we're focused on the bread, because that's what is the Isser on Pesach. And therefore, you can't bring a raya from this Gemara to that Shaila. And therefore, it's a very big shaila. What do we do with the drinking of the coffee? The best advice that the Paiskim suggest is to drink the coffee. You could drink your coffee slowly, but leave over a revius at the bottom of your cup. And that last revius that you have at the bottom of your cup, make sure to drink in the time that it takes to drink a revius. And then you certainly can make a bracha achrayna without any shaila. The shaila meshiv, the Meches Chinuch, said that you can make a bracha achrayna on a coffee, even if you drank the entire coffee slowly, because we do look at each food individually, and since a coffee is a drink that you drink slowly, you can make a bracha achrayna. Others disagree and say that even that the shear of Kedei Achilas Pras is a standard shear applicable to all foods, and since it's a standard shear that's applicable to all foods, then the halacha is that if you didn't drink it in the amount of time of Kedei Achilas Pras, the halacha is you can't make a bracha achrayna. Eisvei, Abaya asks another question to Rav Dimi. The Braisa says, Shtei meduches, if you have two mortars where they grind spices, achas shel truma v'achas shel chulin, one has truma in it and one has chulin in it. Ulfanov, and then you have two pots, achas shel truma v'achas shel chulin. One pot has truma and one pot has chulin. V'nafel elu toich elu, the spices fell into the one bowl of spice fell into one pot, and one bowl of spice fell into another pot. Another question is, what happened? We say shtei mitaris. We say that everything retains its original status. Shani oimer. We say lekula chulin l'tay chulin naflu. We assume the chulin fell into the chulin, the truma l'tay truma naflu, and the truma fell into truma. Ask the Gemara. That's fine if we don't hold kazeis chilas prasas daraisa. However, ask the Gemara, v'sakadat kazayis b'chtei achilas pras deraisa, that if I ate a kazayis of the truma, it would be osam deraisa. Even if this chula mixed in here, how could I be so lenient? Amrinon shani oimer. How we could be lenient and say the truma fell into the truma and the chulin fell into the chulin? What would be if we knew for sure that the truma fell into the chulin? We would be chayiv, the czar who ate a kazayis b'chtei achilas pras would be chayiv for eating truma. So how can we be lenient and just assume that the chulin fell into the chulin? Maybe the truma fell into the chulin, and I'm going to eat the truma b'chtei achilas pras, which is an issa deraisa. So how can we take a lenient approach when there's a question of an issa deraisa? Elamai, what are we going to say? Elmai is going to say the Chechil's Pras is not Osama Deraisa. But still, don't we have a question? Why don't we have a question of Hetamit Starf Lisser? Amai Amrina Shani Oimer. Why? How can we be lenient if Hetamit Starf Lisser, the Chulin and the Truma are Mitstarif, that it should be considered that I ate Truma? Says the Gemara. The reason all these questions are not relevant is because the entire Truma on Tavlin is only midrabanan, and since truma is midrabanan, since it's only midrabanan, the taking of truma from spices, that's why we could be lenient. So the question is, here we're saying that because we're speaking about truma on spices, that's why we have a right to be lenient, because truma is tavlin midrabanan. So Tosfos asks, let's go back to the beginning of the sugya. The beginning of the sugya was where we had the truma mixed with the shum and the shemen, where we had this porridge mixed with the shum and the shemen, and the question was, is the shum and the shemen truma, or is the porridge truma? But if the shum and shemen are truma, it's only truma the rabbanon. So the entire discussion ought not to be relevant. So Tosfos says, yesh l'chalek, there's a difference. But Tosfos doesn't explain what the difference is. Says the Birkas Rosh, I'll tell you what Tosfos means. Tosfos means, he says like this. In the case where we have the shum and the shemen of truma mixed together with the cereal, we know for sure that we have shum and shemen here. There is no question that we have shum and shemen here. The only question we have is what did the Tefillah Yoyim touch? What did he not touch? In such a case, the halacha is that we have to be machmer, because we know for sure that there are shum and shemen here. Versus in the case over here, where we have the two pats, chulin and truma, and then we have the two bowls of chulin and truma, we don't know for sure that there's a mixture of chulin and truma. We could say shani oimer. So says the Birkas HaRosh, there's a difference when we know for sure if truma and chulin are mixed together, the case that we discussed earlier of the shum and shemen, versus a case where we don't know for sure that there is truma and chulin mixed together. Where we don't know for sure that truma and chulin are mixed together, and we're dealing with truma drabanan, the Gemara teaches us we could be lenient. In a case, however, where we don't know if there's, in a case where we do know for sure there was a mixture, even though we're talking about truma drabanan, we have no right to be lenient.